please, with a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence this morning. We ask, O God, for thy help. We need thee, O Lord, today. Come, be one of our number. Help us, Lord, as we worship thee. May our worship be acceptable in thy sight. Lift our hearts heavenward, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. I'm going to commence by singing the words of hymn number 138. The words will be on the screen. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. 138, and we'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's seek the Lord's face, please, now in a word of prayer. We ask for his help and for his presence with us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence this morning, and we thank thee, O God, today that we can come to crown thee the Lord of our lives. We thank thee, Lord, today that with each one in this meeting who's saved, we acknowledge thee, Lord, as Savior. We acknowledge thee as Lord. We thank thee, Lord, for that day, that moment in our life's experience when we were taken out of the deadness of our sin and we brought into new life in Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, today for redemption. We thank thee, Lord, today for salvation. We thank thee, O God, today for a Savior, one who loved us, one who on the cross of Calvary died to save us from our sin. And Heavenly Father, we lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving unto thee today that we can come and address thee and call thee Lord. We thank thee, Lord, today for the great joy that is ours to be in the family of God. We thank thee, Lord, today that we've been taken out, Lord, of the family of sin and Satan. And we thank thee, Lord, today that we've been adopted by the new birth into thy heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank thee today that we are thine. And Heavenly Father, we come to praise thee. We come to rejoice in all that thou hast done for us. O God, we so often are given to complaining and grumbling. But, O God, we pray that today you'll help us, Lord, to lift our eyes heavenward and to see all that we have in Christ. O God, our cry would be today, even, Lord, as those Greeks of old, sirs, we would see Jesus. Come, O God, and reveal thyself afresh to us this morning. We pray, Lord, you'll be pleased to stand amongst us in all of thy great power. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this day we might, Lord, be very conscious that thou art here and that to bless us. O God, we thank thee for the promised Holy Spirit. We thank thee, Lord, today that we come to claim, Lord, that which has already been bought and given to us. And Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, for that move of God amongst us today. We pray, Lord, you'd be pleased to come and, Lord, breathe upon us today. We pray, Lord, that you'd be pleased, Lord, to just come by thy Holy Spirit. Take control of this meeting this morning, we pray. And, Lord, may we be very conscious that God is here. Oh, God, we pray that the stillness and the solemnity of heaven might fall upon us this morning. Lord, we thank thee for thy mercy. We thank thee, Lord, for thy grace that finds us in the house of the Lord another Lord's Day morning. We thank thee, Lord, today that we are the living to praise thee. And Heavenly Father, we pray that even as we gather to worship thee this morning, may our praise be acceptable in thy sight. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless every head bowed in thy presence. We ask, O God, that you'll come and meet us, O God, we pray, at the point of our need. Lord, if there's a need, Lord, in every heart, we pray, Lord, be pleased, Lord, to just speak to every heart this morning. We pray, Lord, especially for those out of Christ. Speak to their souls. Lord, we pray that this will be the day of their salvation. And our Father, we cry unto thee today. May salvation visit this house today, we pray. We ask, O God, today for those who are cold and careless about the things of God. Lord, those who are far from thee. Lord, those who once walked well with thee, and yet, Lord, they're so far from thee. Oh, God, we pray, move in their hearts today. Oh, God, we pray, take away the coldness. And, Lord, burn within them once again that passion and that love for the Savior and for his house. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember the ongoing work and witness of our congregation here. We ask, O God, that you'll bless. Remember over these next coming weeks, Lord, and the various outreaches that are planned. Lord, we look to thee. Give the increase, O God, we pray, amongst the children, amongst the adults. O God, we cry. Lord, do something new amongst us, we pray. Lord, we're stricken with coldness and death. Where is our hope of survival? Save in thy life-giving breath. Breathe upon us, O God, we pray. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Bless the outreaches that are planned amongst the children, Lord, and the adult gospel mission as well. Lord, we just pray that you will be pleased, Lord, to save. Lord, we pray that you'll be pleased to move into hearts that are indifferent and hostile to the gospel. Bless, Lord, the invitations as they're given out over the next coming weeks. And, O God, we look to thee. Give that increase. We acknowledge, O Lord, that revival comes only from thee. And, O God, we pray that you'll be pleased, Lord, to send that revival. Lord, move amongst us, we pray. Remember, Lord, this part of the city, we pray. We pray, Lord, for East Belfast. We pray especially for Ballyhackamore at this time. O God, many, Lord, walking up and down past the doors of this church day in and day out. with no thought of their souls. Lord, many homes that have been visited, people that have been invited, and yet, Lord, there is so little concern. But, oh God, we pray that you'd be pleased to move up and down the streets, Lord, around this area. And, oh God, we pray that you'll turn our capital city back to God. Turn many, Lord, to thyself, oh God, we pray. And, Lord, we ask, oh God, that we might see days of the right hand of God. So, Lord, we look to thee. We pray, Lord, you'll bless thy servants who faithfully minister for thee today. Bless them, O God, we pray. Remember Adam there in Carrick today. Bless him, encourage him. We pray, Lord, for Dines, Lord, as he preaches well. And Lord, we look to thee today. Give thee increase. Remember every faithful servant of the cross across our province, and Lord, across onto the mainland, in England, Scotland, and Wales, down into the south of Ireland. Remember the little work there in the Isle of Man as well. We pray for our brother Philip in London this morning. Bless him and encourage him. Be with him, Lord, even this week, Lord, as he and his family would go on holiday. Just draw near to them and give them that time of refreshing. Remember, Lord, those who are serving thee on the mission field. Lord, those who have left home and family behind. Draw near to them and encourage them, O God, we pray. Remember David and Rachel. Remember Eloise and Arthur, especially, Lord, there in Uganda at this time. Encourage them. Bless David, Lord, as he would minister today. And, O God, we pray that you be pleased, Lord, to make his ministry there a blessing over these next number of weeks. And so, Lord, we look to thee. We cry unto thee, O Lord, to come. Lord, we thank thee for what you've been doing. We thank thee, Lord, for answers to prayer. But, O God, we look to thee for greater things. We would not be unmindful today of those who cannot gather with us. Remember especially, Lord, those who are in hospital at this time. Draw near to them. We pray, Lord, for Brian this morning. We pray, Lord, you'll touch him in his body. Pray for Sammy as well. We ask, O God, that these thy dear servants might know the touch of the Master's hand, and that very soon they'll be back home again. And our Father, we pray you'll remember those, Lord, for whom prayer has been answered. We thank thee for the little ones that have been brought home out of hospital. And, O God, we pray that you'll touch them in their little lives. And, Lord, touch them, we pray, and strengthen them. We ask of thee. Remember Christie's dad as well over there in America. We pray, Lord, you'll draw very near to him and touch him even at this time, we ask. And so, Lord, we look to thee. We pray, Lord, that we might, Lord, see the hand of the Lord at work even this very day. Come, O God, we pray, while on others thou art calling. Lord, do not pass us by here in Sandown. Lord, breathe upon us, O Lord, we pray, and we will be careful to give thee the praise, all the glory and all of the honor. For we ask this in thy name and for thine eternal glory. Amen. Amen. At this stage, can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings and the chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We come back to our studies in the life of Elisha. And we want this morning to look at the subject of the importance of children's work. But we'll read this passage together, familiar, I'm sure, to us all. 2 Kings chapter 4, and the verse number 18 is where we'll commence our reading. 2 Kings chapter 4. And the verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband, and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Is it neither new moon nor Sabbath? And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, The child is not awakened. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up, and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned, walked in the house to and fro, and went up, and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call the Shunammite. So she called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. At this stage, let me welcome you all along this morning to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord. It is good to be back with you after a time away, and we pray the Lord will bless us this morning as we meet in his house. Delighted to have some ministerial colleagues. Well, I'm not really delighted to have them, if I'm honest, but delighted to have the Reverend Thomas Martin, his dear wife June. Glad to have you both with us this morning. Thank you. And also the Reverend Moffat and his wife Leah and little Rose and Micah. We're glad to have you all with us this morning, and we pray the Lord will bless you all at this time of holiday. Just close your ears for the next wee while and you'll be grand and get through it. But we're glad to have you all in the house of the Lord, and also to those who are watching online, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. Do remember our prayer time tonight at 6 p.m. and then our gospel service at 6:30. We'd love to see you back again in the house of the Lord tonight for our gospel meeting. Then after the gospel meeting, if I could ask those who can help us to put together the invites for the Redburn mission, if you can help us just put both invites together and then bundle them into groups, then we could get them out in the morning, God willing. So if you could help just for a little time, many hands make light work, as they say. So if you can stay behind for a time tonight to do that, that would be certainly appreciated. And then we meet tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock over at the Redburn Community Centre, where we're holding the missions next week, meeting there at 10 a.m. for the outreach around the various parts there in Redburn. And so if you can help us, we would certainly appreciate your help. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Tuesday, 8 o'clock, is our Bible study and prayer meeting here in the church at 8 o'clock, and also be the Lord's table on Tuesday night as well. Next Lord's Day, well, we have the services, both seasons, with the seasons of prayer before them as well. 11:30, our morning worship service. 6:30 is our gospel service. The speaker next Lord's Day will be the Reverend Craig Dennison. Now, in case you're thinking he's only back and he's away again, I'm going over to London next Lord's Day to preach for our brother Philip. Philip's off on holiday this week. And so I'm going over to preach for him, to give him a week off next Sunday. And our brother, the Reverend Dennison, will be here to preach at both of the meetings. I want to thank you for your giving to the missionary cause last week. We had the Missionary Council offering of £267. Also, our offering for our sister Noreen, who was here with us on Tuesday night, of £640. So thank you for your giving to the missionary cause. And if you still want to give to Noreen's offering, then please do see William or Richard. Do remember those who need our prayers in our congregation, a lot unwell at this time. Do remember especially those who are in hospital, our brother Brian McKee is in hospital, and also our brother Sammy Lewis is in hospital, back in hospital again. So please do remember these dear servants in your prayers, that the Lord will touch them and strengthen them as well. And as we send out the little message during the week, we want you to remember as well Christy's dad over there in America. Remember our brother Laurie, who's taken a stroke, and pray for him and his dear wife, that the Lord will touch them and bring them back to full health and strength. Now, some other announcements, and do bear with us, please. Next Monday morning, we're going to meet again at 10 o'clock for our outreach for the Clarewood Mission. That's the following week. We're meeting here at the church at 10 o'clock next Monday morning for the outreach for the Clarewood Children's Mission. And then do remember the mission in Redburn. That starts with the Children's Mission Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, each night at 6:15. And the invitations are here. And if you can help, as we say, tomorrow morning to help give them out, that would be appreciated. And then we have the Gospel Mission straight after each night at 7:45. So please remember the time, 7:45. We only have the hall for a certain length of time. And so if you can remember that time, please, 7:45 each night again, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. There'll be no meeting here in the church next Tuesday night, but rather we'll meet over in the community centre in Redburn. Brother Reverend Martin is one of the speakers next week. He's testifying on the Wednesday night. On the Tuesday night, our brother Chris Killen is testifying, and also on the Thursday night, our brother Alfie Stewart is testifying. So we encourage you to please pray for this mission, and let's seek to get as many in as possible, and let's do what we can to advance the cause of Christ and to further the gospel there in Redburn. Then in 2 weeks' time, we're having special seasons of prayer for the recommencement of the works for the autumn and winter season. Sunday the 4th, after the gospel service, we'll meet for prayer. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of that first week of September, we'll also meet for those special seasons of prayer. And also that week, that will be the week of our children's mission in Clarewood, the estate down there. And again, your prayers would be appreciated for that. Sunday the 11th of September, that's Adam's valedictory service, and we trust you'll be able to join with us for that special service as we pray for the Lord's servant as he goes to take up the work in Bible College, and pray that the Lord will bless him as he commences in this new stage of his life. Friday the 23rd of September, that is our church dinner, and you'll get little envelopes. Yeah, you'll get little envelopes, getting the nod here on your way out. And in that envelope, there'll be a list, and you can put down your choice of meal for that night. It'll be over in the Martyrs in the Jubilee Hall. And so you can fill out that form and get your money back to John as soon as possible. And then do remember the recommencement of the works amongst the children and the young people. Friday the 9th of September sees the recommencement of the youth work here in the church. And then our Sunday schools, both in Sandown and in Hollywood, and also our Bible class recommence on Sunday the 11th of September. And then the Explorers Club will, God willing, recommence on Tuesday night the 13th of September. So please keep all these dates in mind and pray that the Lord will bless his work as the work starts up again. As you'll know by this stage, there are no offerings being lifted, but the boxes are available there for you as you leave. And these announcements, as always, are made subject to the sovereign will of the Lord. Let's turn in our hymn books again, please, to 689, 689, page 454, if you're using a hymn book, otherwise the words will be on the screen. When mothers of Salem their children brought to Jesus, the stern disciples drove them back and bade them depart. We're going to stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Turning back again to 2 Kings chapter 4, please. 2 Kings chapter 4. As we said, we want to look at the subject of the importance of children's work as we come to this passage and come to the study in the life of Elisha. But before we do so, come to the preaching of the Word of God. Let's seek His face, please. Pray the Lord will bless us as we meet around His Word. Our eternal God and our Father, we lift our hearts again to Thee. And Lord, we do so again out of a great sense of our need. O God, we acknowledge that Thou art Lord. We acknowledge, O Lord, that this is Thy Word. And O God, we acknowledge our own inability to rightly divide the Scriptures of truth. And so, Lord, we look to Thy help. We pray, Lord, You be pleased, Lord, to fill us with power. Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost. We ask, O God, that today we might be very sure, Lord, that Thou art here. Lord, that in the pulpit, in the pew, Lord, that we might feel Thy presence. Lord, give help, Lord, to this preacher to preach as he ought. Give us help, O God, to hear as we need to hear. And bless Thy word, O God, we pray. Lord, we pray that You'll take the living word of God and make it live in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that this might not just, Lord, be another sermon. But, O God, we pray that it'll be a word straight from Thyself. Lord, speak to us and speak through us, O God, we pray, and pour out Your Spirit upon us. So hear and answer prayer. Lord, to this end we ask for the infilling of the blessed Holy Spirit. Lord, give us help, we pray, both to preach and to hear. And may Thy name be glorified. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. This miracle of the raising of the Shunammite's child to life is another one of the great life events in the life and ministry of the prophet Elisha. In our previous study a few weeks back, we came across this Shunammite woman who, along with her husband, showed great kindness and practical Christianity to God's servant. She was providing meals for him. She made a home for a little room for he could stay and study and rest as he passed by. And as a result of her kindness, God blessed her with a child. And everything in this lady's home was going so very well. That was until one day when tragedy struck. And as we read in verse number 20, the little child died. Unexpectedly and very suddenly, that which God had given to this home was taken away. And there are many different angles that we can look at and preach upon in this message, in this passage. But I think that today, as we've been thinking much about the youth work throughout the past summer, we've just had our summer camp. We have our two Bible clubs with our children in the next number of weeks. We have the starting back of our youth and our children's work. I think it is providential that we come to this passage today. As we do so and consider it from the angle of the importance and indeed the necessity of the youth work and the children's work in the local church. Because in this account of the dealings and the death of this child, there are lessons, I believe, for us as we take up that great responsibility of teaching and instructing the little ones in the things of God. There are many great truths I trust that we will grasp this morning that will encourage us and will energize us as we seek another season amongst the children and the young people. As we consider this passage of Scripture this morning, and as we do so under the heading, the title of the importance of children's work, I want us to notice, first of all, there is the tragedy of the son. The tragedy of the son. The awful tragedy here is that the son died. In verse 19, we read of the child complaining of a very sore head. And then his mother took him and nursed him. And then we read those devastating words at the end of verse 20, and then died. What a moment of devastation that must have been. What an awful tragedy for this mother to hold in her arms her dying son. And when we consider this scene, and as we consider Elisha being brought into this scene, as we'll see later on, as to how he had to deal with this tragedy, there are some things that I want us to notice about this tragedy. And again, keeping in mind that we're looking at it from the perspective of children's work. As we think of this tragedy, notice further that there's the deadness. When Elisha was brought into this scene, he had to deal with a child that had died. Yes, it was a natural death. But when we come to deal with children or come to deal with anyone in the work of God, we must remember constantly and continually that we are dealing with people who are spiritually dead. Boys and girls, just like every adult, all are dead in trespasses and in sins. It's sad to hear that in many dealings with children, working with children in a church context, there's little real emphasis on the deadness of the child. And children are not told of their spiritual condition before God. Oh, it seems in this cancel culture in which we're in, we're almost frightened to tell children that they are sinners. And we shy away from the doctrine of sin for fear of what the repercussions may be. What would the parents say? What would the psychologists say? It would have an adverse effect upon them. But you see, folks, if we neglect to teach and to tell the reality of sin, then we are not being faithful to their young lives. You see, in our children's work and in innate children's work, we're not making people better. We don't want them to do good things or seek to instill within them a sense of right and wrong. That is good. That is commendable. The primary aim and aspiration must always be to see that child, that young person, taken out of the spiritual deadness of their sin and brought into new life in Jesus Christ. The sole purpose of our summer camp just a few weeks ago was not that the young people would have a good time, and I know they did, but that they would be taught the things of God, and that they were. The mission in Redburn, the mission down in Clarewood, what's it about? It's about teaching the children that there's a Savior from their sin. It's not about educating them or teaching them about life lessons. It's about seeking to win them for Christ. And of course, that is true in all of our outreach ventures. That's true for every effort of our church. It is about seeking to reach people in their sin and see them saved from their sin. No matter what we do in the work of God, it must always be with this one aim, to see sinners saved. We need to be careful that we don't fall into the trap that Gehazi, Elisha's servant, fell into. Because, as you read, come down to verse 31, you'll see that Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore, he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. Gehazi just thought that the child's having a sleep. He's having a doze. But the child is dead. And there is nothing that child can do to help himself or to bring life to himself. If I don't fully grasp the deadness of souls to whom I preach, then I'll not be faithful in seeking to reach them. If we think that perhaps there's some little bit of good, that we can just get that little bit of good, then we'll not be earnest in our seeking to win them for Christ. This child was dead. And as we seek to go forward in the work of God, we must realize that we're dealing with people, whatever age, they're spiritually dead. And they need a work of grace. They need the Holy Spirit in their hearts to transform them. We see the deadness of this tragedy. But we also see the dedication in this tragedy. Because we come down, we're skipping through a lot of verses, come down to verse 35. They tried to revive the child. They tried to bring him to life. Now Elisha comes in. He went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his eyes. And he stretched himself upon the child. What's he doing? He's giving his all to try to save this child. He puts his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and he stretches himself upon the child. This man is earnest. He's dedicated, even though he saw no signs of life. Others had tried and failed, but Elisha didn't give up. Didn't put him off. He kept at the task. He stayed focused and he stayed determined to see that child revived. Sunday school teacher, children's worker, youth worker, I know it's easy to become very discouraged in the work of God amongst the children. They can be rowdy, they can be inattentive, and they don't want to listen, they don't want to hear, and they don't want to learn. And it seems the more effort you make, the less interested they become. But how we need to learn here from the life of Elisha. In the midst of this tragedy, there was dedication. He was still seeking to bring life to this child. He still believed there was hope. How many missions have we had? How many doors have been knocked around East Belfast? How many times have you invited people to come into the gospel meeting? And yet you see no signs of life, and it's very easy to become despondent and think, well, I'll just give up. Elisha didn't give up, and may we not give up. And may we keep teaching and keep catechizing, keep striving to educate them in the gospel, in the Word of God, even though there seems to be little or no response. Remember, we don't do the saving. That's not our responsibility. He does the saving, but it's our responsibility to do the informing and to do the teaching. It's the dedication in this tragedy, the deadness in this tragedy. There's also the direction. I want us for a moment to think about the Shunammite woman herself. Where did she go to? Verse 21, she went to the man of God. She went to the man of God. Her faith was such that it directed her to God. And remember, as we pointed out in the past, Elisha was God's spokesman for that time. And in going to Elisha, she was going to God. Her direction was to the Lord. Yes, Elisha was the instrument. Elisha was the channel that God was going to use to do a miracle. She went to God. She knew the only answer for this son of hers that had died was the Lord. You know, folks, today we can have all the grand social programs and all the grand social initiatives to try to make our children better, try to make them better citizens, try to take them away from the drugs and everything else that they're involved in. But only the Lord can change their lives. No government strategy, no social welfare program will ever save a young person from sin. Only the Lord. And I think perhaps in 2022, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to grasp that reality more and more. Only the Lord can save a soul. Only the Lord can take that one that's in the deadness of their sin and bring them to new life in Himself. Elisha was God's man, and this woman knew where to go to for the answer. The greatest need for children, the greatest need for our young people, is that they would be saved. And I make no apology for saying that. It's not that they would go on well in life, and we trust and pray they do. It's not that they would have good careers in life and have good prospects in life, and I trust and pray they do. There's only one aim that we ought to have, and that is to see their soul saved from a life of sin. And you're in this meeting tonight, today, without Christ. Our prayer, our desire is that you too would be taken out of the deadness of your sin and brought into that new life that there is in Jesus Christ. There's the tragedy of the son here. But I want us to see, secondly, there is the tenderness of the servant. The tenderness of the servant. Shunammite woman calls for Elisha, the man of God. In fact, she takes it upon herself to go and find him. She saddles her ass. She takes her servant. She makes the preparation to go in search of Elisha. And the response of Elisha, I believe, is very instructive for us in relation to her interest in the children that we must have. As we consider this tenderness, notice there's a concern in Elisha. Elisha acts in the most tender and compassionate way with this woman in relation to the situation of her dead child. He shows great concern and for her predicament and seeks to do something to help. In verse 25, we read, "He went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said unto Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite." See how the woman coming and he inquires after the well-being and welfare of her family. Verse 26, "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" Here was a man who had a concern. He saw the need. Do you know, like Elisha, we need to have a concern for others as well. A concern that they might hear the gospel of saving grace. I think I've said this in the past. In fact, I know I've said this in the past. That the past 2 years of this predicament, this pandemic, and this COVID has had a very negative influence and impact upon the Church of Christ. Because I do think we have lost our concern for others. It's all about me. But it's not about those who are lost and dying around us. We need to have a concern about others. Young people, older people who are dying in their sin and going to hell. And we need to have a concern. There are people around this church, not too far from this church, whose lives are ruined by sin. Whose homes are wrecked by sin. And for so many of them, the only way out, as far as they see, is taking their own lives. We need to have a concern. Listen, folks, we're not having these missions. We didn't have a mission in Dundonald. We're not having these missions over these next number of weeks just to fill in a few weeks in the church calendar. God, give us a concern for others. God, give us a concern for souls. You notice how the woman reacted in verse 27 when she came to the man of God to the hill. She caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. this dear mother was so desperate. She caught Elisha by the feet. Help me, help me. She was in complete, absolute distress. But Gehazi wanted to take her away. Don't bother the man of God. He's got far too many things to do to be bothered with you. And he wants to hold her back. Just like the disciples, when the parents brought the children to the Savior, what did they say? Oh, don't bother the Savior. He's too busy. Not interested in the little ones, yet what did the Savior say? Suffer. Suffer the little children to come on to me. Thank God today that He has an interest in the little ones, in the children. And if He has an interest in them, then so should we. Gehazi wanted to pull her away. He wanted to hinder. He wanted to discourage her. He wanted to hold this woman back. And you know really what Gehazi was saying? There's no point anymore. There's no hope anymore for your son. And you know, there'll be always those who will say there's no point. There'll always be the gainsayers. There's no point going there on the gospel mission. Nobody will come in. Doesn't matter whether nobody comes in or not, we'll go. There'll be many who'll say there's no point anymore in preaching the gospel. And you don't go outside the church to find such people. There'll be those who'll want to dampen your enthusiasm and dampen your excitement and say, I don't know why you're bothering. Just live for the Lord as best you can, and sure, the Lord's coming back again anyway, and you know my thoughts on that. Now the Lord's returning, and there's no point anymore. Things are just going to get worse and worse. I don't believe that. We need to get excited about the work of God. We need to get enthusiastic about the work of God. And I'm so thankful today that I know whenever I announce a gospel mission in this little congregation, you will support it with all your hearts. And for all who can, we'll gather tomorrow morning, I know, to do the outreach. We need to get excited and get enthused, even though it might seem that there's little happening or there's little point. We see the concern, we see the continuance as well. We come back to this point that we touched upon. Because they try to revive the child in the next number of verses. They try to bring him back to life. They try to help him. Nothing was working. You see in verse 31, like Gehazi had tried, but there was neither voice nor hearing. You know, it would have been just so easy for Elisha to say, well, listen, we've tried. We've done what we can. Let's just pat ourselves on the back and let's go home and let's go on our merry way to heaven. And let's not worry about the little one. We need not to give up in the work of God, either amongst the children, youth, or the adults. Sunday school teacher, children's worker, youth worker, I'm sure there's times you feel like giving up. I'm sure there's times you feel like throwing in the towel. And maybe you're here this morning thinking, I've had enough. Nothing's happening. Been teaching for so long and there's been little or no response. So few are coming in. There's always a reason to teach Christ. There's always a need to teach the children about the things of God. And can I encourage you, keep at the work. We see his concern, his continuance, but we see his calling. Verse 33, notice what Elisha did. Brought him into the house, went in therefore, and and shut the door upon them in twain, and prayed unto the Lord. Prayed unto the Lord. The child's dead, what are they doing praying? It doesn't seem like much will happen. You see, here was a man who believed in the power of prayer. Here was a man who believed that prayer changes things. Seems such a simple statement. He prayed unto the Lord. Oh, surely there needs to be something more dramatic. And isn't it true, not just in the work of the children, but in the gospel as well, we look past the spectacular. We always look for the spectacular. And we miss the simple. Surely there's something more dramatic that the man of God ought to be doing here than praying. He could do nothing more than pray. The best thing he could do was pray. And listen, you might say, I have no part amongst the children. I can't work with children. That's fine, I understand that. But I tell you, you can pray. You can pray. And will you pray this week more earnestly for these missions? Because we can have all our grand schemes and all of our grand designs. But it all needs to be bathed in prayer. It's a simple formula, but it worked. He prayed alone. He shut the door. He wanted to bring the child alone to God. He wanted to privately bring the child to the Lord in prayer. He wanted to pour out his heart to the Lord that this child would be raised. Why did he pray? Because he knew there was nothing that he could do of himself. But he knew his God could. Our God today is still able to save sinners. Our God today is still able to change and transform lives. Now, as we said in verse 34, he stretched himself upon the child, exerted every effort. He just did what he could. God make us prayer warriors in bringing the children constantly and earnestly to God in prayer. Do you know every Sunday as the children come to Sunday school, every Friday night as they come to youth fellowship, every Tuesday night as they come to Explorers Club, would you pray for them? Would you hold them up before the Lord in prayer? There's the tragedy of the son. There's the tenderness of the servant. As we close this morning, I want us to see now there's the transformation of the situation. Look at verse 35. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. What a transformation. What a miracle. The flesh of the child waxed warm. It appeared that life was coming back. He and Elisha stretched himself upon the child again. The child sneezed 7 times. There was life now. Where once there was deadness, now there is life. What a transformation. What a miracle. And the child opened his eyes. The Bible tells us that the eyes of the sinner are blinded in their sin. And it is our prayer that the little children's eyes will be opened spiritually. to see their sin and to see their Savior. And he's still able to do it. The dead was made alive. The whole situation was turned around. The child opened his eyes. That's the power of the gospel. The simple, plain preaching of teaching of the gospel is still able to open the eyes of the sinner of whatever age. What a transformation. New life brought into this child. And I close with where I started. Our aim in the children's work and the youth work is not to make them good young people or better young people. It's to see them saved, won for Christ. And as we embark on these special gospel efforts amongst the children over these next number of weeks, let's expect it to happen. Let's pray for it to happen. Let's look to the Lord for a move of God amongst our younger ones, amongst our families, amongst our homes, in our lives, in our area. And let's never despise the work amongst the children. Let's never think that it's something of less importance, but how important it is to continue on in seeking to reach, win the little ones for Christ. I think we've all been Gehazi's in the past, haven't we? We've all thought, well, we've tried and there's not much more we can do. Nothing has happened. But may we be determined like Elisha to see these little ones raised out of the deadness of their sin and brought to new life in Jesus Christ. And as we do so, may we, like Elisha, bathe all these efforts in prayer and plead for souls that we might see them won for Christ. That we might have that wonderful experience of seeing the eyes of the little ones opened. And you know what? Our God's still able. He still is able to do it in Elisha's day and now in our day. The gospel still works, folks. The blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from sin. Oh, the devil would want to tell us there's no point, there's no hope. But there's always hope. Christ, there's always hope. And so, as we seek to teach and instruct the little ones and the older ones as well, and as we look forward into a new season in the work of God, may we do so with hope, with faith, and with expectancy. And listen, whether the Lord saves by many or whether the Lord saves by few, that's irrelevant as long as the Lord saves. If one little child were to come to faith in Christ, it would be worth going round every door, not only in East Belfast, but in the whole of the province, to see one brought to Christ. May we have the faith of Elisha. May we see God at work. One child brought to life. Let's pray that that will be the experience over these next number of weeks as well.